Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's so good to see all of you here this evening. It's so good to be among the people of God, people who believe in following the Bible, people who believe in doing what God requires of them in His Word. I hope that the lesson tonight will be of one that will encourage you, if you are a Christian, to continue to live faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you are not a Christian, I hope that this lesson will encourage you to obey the gospel and give your life to Jesus before it's everlasting too late. We've been studying from the book of Acts today, and I would like for us to take a trip back in time as we begin this lesson this evening. I want you to imagine that you are the Apostle Paul. You are on your second missionary journey with your faithful brethren, Silas and Timothy, and the three of you have traveled along the region right here. You traveled through Syria, Galatia, Cilicia, and Phrygia. Once you leave those regions, you then travel through Asia Minor until you get to Macedonia, which is in the continent of Europe. Your first stop in Macedonia is the city of Philippi, which is located about right here underneath the O in the word Macedonia. In Philippi, your work is very successful. You convert many people to Christianity. You're also able to establish a church in Philippi. Once the three of you leave the city of Philippi, you then travel to the city of Thessalonica. Immediately, once you arrive in the city of Thessalonica, you go and preach in the synagogue of the Jews. You go into the synagogue and you teach people about Jesus. You do this for three Sabbaths. You're able to convert several people to Christianity. But you also make some of the Jews jealous. Some of the Jews do not like the message that you are preaching, and they decide to persecute some of the people that you have converted. This takes place in Acts chapter 17, verses 5 through 9. After their persecution, it appears that your work has failed in this city. Because of your preaching, a man named Jason and some other Christians are dragged out of his home and brought before the civil authorities. You have converted only a small group of people in this city, and it appears that these believers are not going to stay faithful to the Lord for a long period of time. I mean, think about it. Before you arrived, they probably were not being dragged out of their homes. You, the Apostle Paul, leave the city, and about 6 months later, you travel south to the city of Corinth. While in Corinth, you receive a letter from the church in Thessalonica. Remember, this is the church that you helped start. In this letter, you receive some good news. The good news is these Christians are being faithful to the Lord despite being persecuted severely. You then realize that these people, the people that you were so worried about because of the persecution they were facing, are true believers. They are true believers because they have decided to live their lives as Christians no matter what their circumstances are. You then decide to write them back, encouraging them to continue being faithful to God. This evening, we're going to study Paul's first letter to these true believers. The Thessalonians were true believers, and I want you to see four things that characterized their faith. The first thing that characterized the faith of these true believers, the Thessalonians, is they were persistent in their work for God. We're going to be studying from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I want us to read verses 1 through 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The scripture says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the presence of our God and Father. Paul describes their labor of love, their work of faith, and their patience and hope. Do you remember what happened to some of these Christians in Acts chapter 7, verse 17, verses 1 through 9? Remember we talked about that just a few minutes ago? These Christians had some terrible things happen to them. Jason, a newly converted Christian, and some others were dragged out of his home. They were not dragged out because they had committed some terrible crime. They were dragged out because they were Christians. This episode with Jason is just one example of the type of persecution that these people had to endure. But despite the fact this church received persecution, Paul says they continued to labor for God. Their hard labor for Christ was known throughout the world. Look at verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 8. He says, "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth, so we have no need to say anything." These believers worked for Christ even at the risk of severe persecution. This not only takes courage, but it takes great love for Jesus. People who are true believers are busy people. They are involved in what the Bible calls a labor of love. What does it mean to be involved in a labor of love? We have the wrong idea if we think it means to labor because we love what we are doing. There may be many things that we love to do. Me personally, I love to play basketball and I love to watch football. Some of you may love to garden. You may love to plant things and watch them grow over a certain amount of time. Some of you may be grandparents and you love to babysit your grandchildren when your children go out of town. To be involved in a labor of love does not mean we do something because we love what we are doing, like babysitting or playing basketball. It means to labor because we are motivated by love. These people have a type of love that motivated them to be persistent without ceasing. They continue to work for God. Their number one desire was to please God and not themselves. They were motivated to work for God because they loved God. An example of this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. There was a time when these Christians and this congregation were called upon to do a hard and unpleasant thing. They had to discipline some erring brethren. These brethren had to withdraw themselves from brethren who were not living according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There may be some people who think that it is easy to withdraw ourselves from brethren when they are living ungodly. For the faithful Christian, that is just not so. Withdrawing from brethren is one of the most difficult works of the church. It can only be accomplished when we truly love one another. Love has to be what motivates us to do what is best for our brethren, even if it means withdrawing from them, so they can realize that they need their brethren and they need God to make it to heaven. The Thessalonians were able to labor for God because they had faith and love for Him. They loved God and they loved the souls of men. They had faith in God and His perfect plan of salvation. This is why they were persistent in their work for God. They were workers in the kingdom, not because they felt they had an obligation to, but because they were motivated because they loved God. Their love for God motivated them to do His will. Their faith and love for people inspired them to get busy doing the work of God. What made the Thessalonians true believers? Well, they were persistent in their work for God. But they were also consistent in imitation of the apostles. Look at verses 4 through 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 4 through 6. Paul says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, His choice of you, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. This is the New American Standard that I'm reading from. If you have the King James Version, that is fine. But I want you to understand what is taking place in these scriptures. These Christians were true believers because they were imitators of righteousness. Some of your translations may say they were followers of the apostles and of the Lord. This means they imitated or followed the pattern of the words of God. A true believer does not imitate only part of what the apostles taught. A true believer imitates all of the teachings of God's apostles. You can always recognize a true believer. True believers are those who follow the pattern set by the apostles in the Word of God. Keep your finger at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, but I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 6. Listen to what John says here. 1 John 4, verse 6. He says, "We are from God." Who is the we? He is talking about himself and the other apostles. He says, "We are from God. He who knows God listens to us." Listens to who? Listens to God's apostles. "He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." There are many people in the world who claim to be true believers, yet they do not follow the pattern that the apostles laid down for us. The apostles taught baptism was essential for salvation. The apostle Peter says, "Baptism now saves us." Anyone who teaches that baptism is not essential for salvation is not imitating the teachings of the apostles. The apostles taught the truth about marriage. They did not say that a man and a woman can get a divorce for any reason. The apostles taught that when two people get married, they're supposed to stay together. They cannot get a scriptural divorce because they get into a heated argument. Anyone who teaches that a man and a woman can get a divorce for any reason is not imitating the teachings of God's apostles. The apostles taught the truth about how God feels about homosexuality. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. They did not compromise the truth about this issue. They did not teach that it was okay for a man to be with a man and for a woman to be with a woman. Anyone who teaches that God condones the practice of homosexuality is not imitating the teachings of God's apostles. Some may wonder, why do we have to imitate the apostles? Aren't these just men? Well, when we hear and imitate the apostles, we are hearing and imitating our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to look at two scriptures with me. The first one is 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Apostle Paul says, "So, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you." Paul is saying, if we reject the writings, we're rejecting God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1. Paul says the same thing. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. He says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." Being by following Paul, the Thessalonians, the church that we're studying tonight, have become followers of Jesus himself. Beware of any man who says they follow Jesus but do not follow the apostles. The scriptures teach against this. A person cannot follow Jesus and reject the teachings of his apostles. What then does a true believer look like? He looks like Jesus. He has the heart like Jesus, and that he has compassion for others. He has hands like Jesus, and that he touches things that are pure. He has eyes like Jesus, and that he sees the needs in people. People are spiritually sick, and they need the gospel. He has a mouth like Jesus, and that he speaks the same things Jesus spoke, things of righteousness. He has ears like Jesus, and that he hears the call of God in his life. And he has feet like Jesus. and that he is eager to walk to the lost and teach them about God. The Thessalonians looked like Jesus. They followed and imitated Jesus. They did this despite the fact much affliction had come upon them. They were afflicted, but they continued to imitate Christ. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 again, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and let's read verse 6 again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit." You see here, Paul says, you continue to serve Jesus despite the fact there is much persecution coming upon you. And not only did they serve Jesus, but they did it with joy. And by them doing this, they were able to influence people in Macedonia and Achaia. We need to be just like these people. We need to always strive to imitate Jesus. The Thessalonians were true believers. These Christians were loving. They were submissive. And they were sacrificial. They served one another and God the same way that Jesus served people and served His Father. They were people who, even when mistreated, they did not complain. They were shaping their lives in the image of Christ. They knew what kind of king they served, and they wanted to be just like their king, Jesus. The end result of their constant imitation was they were able to influence other people in the world. We need to be just like them. What made the Thessalonians true believers? They were persistent in their work for God. They were consistent in their imitation of the apostles and Jesus. And they were also insistent in evangelism. Look at verses 7 through 8 of 1 Thessalonians. Verses 7 through 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul continues by saying, "So that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything." Another characteristic of a true believer is they are eager to share the gospel with others. One may think that the Thessalonians would have been too afraid to share the gospel with others. Remember, these Christians were being persecuted. Their lives were at risk. One may think that the Thessalonians would have been afraid to share the truth with others. But they were not. These believers contributed to spreading the word of God, not only from Thessalonica, but throughout all of the province of Macedonia and Achaia. The phrase "sounded forth," that the Bible says, this phrase "sounded forth" comes from the Greek word from which we get our English word "echo." It is important that we don't miss the significance of what is being said here. There are two possible ideas Paul could be expressing or saying. One is, Paul could be saying that they echoed the words that were preached to them. They preached to other people the same things that the apostles and other Christians preached to them. Or, Paul could be saying that the word of God was heard like an echo throughout their province. Whatever the meaning is, it basically means that their evangelistic efforts were successful. They taught the gospel to people, and people were being converted to Christianity. They were so effective in teaching others, everyone knew of their faith. These Christians made an impact in people's lives. They made a lot of noise in their region. They were not ashamed of the fact that they were Christians. Their work was not just keeping up a church building or just serving one another, although those things are important, don't get me wrong. But these Christians made an effort to spread the good news about Jesus. Remember, they were imitators of Jesus. This means they had a desire to share the gospel with others. For these Christians, being evangelistic was an important part of their lives. when these Christians began spreading the gospel, their lives were put in great danger. There were many unbelievers who despised the fact that these people were Christians. And imagine what these same unbelievers, how they felt when they also found out that these Thessalonians were converting people and influencing people to be Christians. They probably hated that idea. These people, the Thessalonians, they shared the gospel with others, even if it meant them being arrested and imprisoned, even if it meant their lives. These people were true believers because they shared the gospel with other people no matter what harsh opposition they faced. People who are true believers are extremely evangelistic. They may be so evangelistic that other people may view them as pushy. But you and I know we just cannot help it. When a person obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, they have to share that good news with other people. They cannot be silent about that. They have to tell people about Jesus and His Father. True believers put their faith to work. They are busy teaching the gospel. They just don't love themselves, but they love everyone. They want to help as many people as they can get to heaven. This church was great when it came to spreading God's message. Now let me ask all of us a question this evening. Would we fit in this church? If we were living during this time, would we have fit in well at this congregation? If we are not willing to be evangelistic and tell people about Jesus, we would not have fit in well at this church. Let's be like them. Let's be insistent in evangelism. The fourth and final thing I want you to see is the Thessalonians were true believers because they were persistent in work, consistent in evangelism, insistent in evangelism, consistent in imitation, and they were also repentant in their service for God. They had a repentant service. Look at verses 9 and 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 9 and 10. Paul says, "For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we have with you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serving a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, who He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." At the close of this chapter, the Apostle Paul mentions three things that characterize these Christians. First, he says, they turned from idols. They gave up their old lifestyle and abandoned the false gods of their culture. It is important for us to understand that these people were putting themselves in great danger by turning away from idols. The city of Thessalonica was notorious when it came to idolatry. The majority of people in the city worshipped idols. For the Thessalonians to give up idolatry could have, one, cost them business. Many of these people probably at one time sold the little statues that were used in idolatry, like the people in the city of Ephesus. The second thing that this could have cost them is social standing. There were probably more people in the city who served idols than served Jesus. And this, as a result, would have made them outcast. But despite the fact they had all these potential dangers, these people continued to serve Jesus. We see that these people truly repented because they gave up idols and they refused to turn back to them. The second thing I want you to see in these two scriptures is not only did they turn from serving idols, but they then turned to serving the living God. These Christians did not just make an intelligent decision that there was only one God. They went to work for God. They not only gave up idols, they offered their lives to the one true God. They wanted to serve the real deal. Once they learned about the living God, they devoted their lives to His service. The third thing I want you to see is, yes, they turn from idols and they then turn to serve the living God, but they also eagerly waited for the Lord's return. You can always recognize true believers because they are not far from the coming of Jesus. They look forward to it. They talk about it, and they're not afraid of it. They understand to be with the Lord is better than to be here in this present world. These people were on top of things. They were not afraid of Jesus coming back. They understood to be with the Lord was much better than to be here on this earth. They were on top of things. They knew the score. They had it together. They knew what life was all about. Life is about serving Jesus Christ. They knew that being with Jesus was the most important thing in life. They knew Jesus was the one who gives eternal life, and they were eagerly waiting for His return. What should we take home from this lesson? Well, the first thing I want you to take home from this lesson is we need to put our faith in Jesus. What made these people, what set these people apart was their full conviction in the Son of God. They endured persecution, ridicule, and even jail in order to trust in Jesus. We need to challenge ourselves to do the same. We need to trust Jesus and serve Him no matter what our circumstances may be. If you are not a Christian, you need to trust Jesus tonight. You need to trust Him, trust God's Son, and let Jesus forgive you of your sins, just like He forgave the Thessalonians. The second thing I want you to take home from this lesson is we need to put our faith to work. We need to get busy telling people about Jesus. The gospel has the power not only to save our souls, but it has the power to save the whole world. And we need to tell people what God says in the gospel. There are many people who need to hear the words of God. And God expects us, we're God's people, He expects us to be His messengers and bring the word to the lost. We need to teach people the gospel. Because there are countless people who need to know about Jesus. The third thing I want you to take home from this lesson is we need to put our love into service. How much does God love us? He loved us enough to send us His Son, Jesus. His only Son. He sent Jesus so Jesus could die on the cross and shed blood and so that our sins could be forgiven. If we're going to be like God, we must love. The love that the Bible teaches is not just an emotion, it is an action. If we're going to imitate Jesus, we must be willing to go into the sinful world, a world that has rejected God, and we must teach them the gospel and bring them back to God. This lesson was intended to not only teach us about obedience, it was intended to help motivate us to have the same motives and values as Jesus. The Thessalonians worked out of faith, and they served out of love. The end result for them was them having an attitude and a reputation as true believers. The Apostle Paul knew that these Christians were people of deep conviction. We have to be just like them. We have to be true believers, people who don't just say the right things, but we demonstrate our love for Jesus with obedient works. We have to have true conviction. If we are like the Thessalonians, we can eagerly anticipate and wait for our Lord to return. We can do that unashamed. A true believer is one that is motivated by love for Jesus. A person of true faith is one that does not just agree to a principle. A person with true, genuine faith responds when Jesus commands something. This means if there is anyone here who is not a child of God, you need to obey the words of Jesus. In Mark 16, verse 16, You need to trust Jesus when He says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you had fallen away, obey what Jesus commands in Luke 13 and verse 3, when He says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The believers in Thessalonica not only trusted in Jesus, they responded to His commands. Tonight is the night for you to do that as well. If you have not obeyed the gospel, come right now, please, as we stand and we sing together.